I'm Dan Barish.
And this is Matt Shepard.
And this is the Common...
And we are the Common Ground.
The podcast, interrupting each other as good conservatives and liberals do.
As always.
Absolutely. So yes, I am a Jewish liberal from Cleveland, and he is a...
A conservative Mormon from Seattle. And this week's podcast, we're going to be talking about gay marriage and attempting to reach a consensus.
Spoiler, we reached a consensus a long time ago. The only difference is now we're going to tell you about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, take it away, Matt.
All right, so starting on the conservative perspective, one thing that the gay marriage debate seems to be a lot about, like, well, we're not being compassionate or, like, equal rights and all these other things. Maybe you should explain your side of the debate first. Because basically, if it were completely up to me, it would be sticking to what has been going on. So if you'd like to explain your side here.
Okay.
No, quick.
Okay. Well, basically, I believe that equal rights are equal rights. That gay couples, same-sex couples, whatever configuration of consenting adult couples ought to have the same rights as do heterosexual cisgender couples. It's pretty much that simple to me. There isn't really evidence that having same-sex marriage destabilizes society, and I'm totally unsympathetic to any argument about traditional, quote-unquote, traditional marriage, because there is no such thing as traditional marriage. We've had polygamy in the past. Only, you know, in my parents' lifetime, I suppose, has, you know, black and white marriage been legal. And indeed, as we both know, if you go back not that far in human history, marriages were more transactional financially than they were about love. And, you know, for example, medieval Europe, you know, love was just considered this dangerous force, at least among the nobility. The owner, you know, the reason they got married was to solidify alliances. And that's not just medieval Europe, of course. That's all kinds of societies all over the world. So marriage has been done for many different reasons and has happened in many different configurations over human history. So I think the historical record just empirically shows there is no such thing as traditional marriage. There just isn't.
Continue. Any last thoughts before I...
Not on that particular strand. I'm basically just saying equal rights, number one, and number two, there is no such thing as traditional marriage. It's a figment of the, forgive me, the conservative imagination. And therefore, we should just let it go.
The libertarian ideas and things inside me kind of feels for that argument. But there are certain things that there are certain reasons behind a lot of the ideas and things that I have. For instance, you said there's no such thing as traditional marriage in the past. Well, there may not be traditional marriage, but there is traditional production of children.
Can I ask you a question?
As far as I know, that still hasn't changed.
Well, can I ask you a question then?
Sure.
Certainly, unless you have a science laboratory involved, you need a man and a woman to produce a child together, obviously. And and all of the studies that are any good tell us that, yeah, certainly a two-parent household produces on average more successful children than does a single parent household for all sorts of reasons. That's just known. But however, gay marriage has simply not been legal for long enough to have, you know, multi-decade longitudinal studies on how the children of those partnerships do. Also, if we are going to say that the whole purpose of marriage is to produce children, well, let's see. My mother married my stepfather and they had no intention of having children. My father married my stepmother. They have no intention of having children. Or if two, say, senior citizens get married and they have neither the intention nor due to age the capability of producing children. You know, there's many different marital unions that have neither the intention nor the capability to produce children. So if we're going to say, well, gays shouldn't get married because they can't produce kids, well, guess what sort of straight people can't or won't do it either? To me, that's just not okay. It's a stupid reason. Forgive me for saying the word stupid in this. I'm trying to be respectful. But if we are going to say we should proscribe marriages that can't produce children, well, let's not let my mom and my stepdad get married either, and that's not okay. So...
As far as I know, my definition of marriage is that marriage is the fundamental unit of society. And in society, like a fundamental unit, just like an atom is the fundamental unit of matter, atom, or a molecule, contains, unless we go quantum, I don't think we want to go there, but an atom or a molecule has all the properties of the matter. The one water molecule has the same properties as another water molecule. You know, there's no way that we can distinguish between those. And so the fundamental unit of society is something that mirrors society on most levels, which is why the traditional marriage does mirror that in society. Now, I think more and more with the way that society is headed, with hookup culture and a lot of other issues, that may not always be true. But as of right now, that mirror of society is traditional marriage.
And it's a funny thing. You talk about hookup culture. Someone I will not identify, who grew up in the hippie era said, you guys call it the hookup culture. We called it free love.
Yeah, and look where that's led.
It's problematic on certainly a number of levels.
Yeah, we can get into that in another episode.
Indeed.
But there is, there are, like you said, there aren't any, long-scale, longitudinal studies out there that go, okay, here is the issue, here's the children of gays and lesbians, and continue on down the line, LGBTQ and questioning or whatever else the rest is. But, there isn't a great longitudinal study that says these people are like this, and that goes through and compares the children and the people that are raised in those situations and that sort of thing. There are some that do have certain studies, one of which I believe was based around, I think it was based in LA. And this is often cited as one of the definitive studies that says, oh yeah, actually there is no difference between people that are raised by the LGBTQ people and people that are raised in a heterosexual environment. But in that same study, there were some key differences that I would like to point out. Children of women raised by lesbians, which was the main focus, because that's usually where the children end up being raised, at least in this study. They were much more likely to experiment sexually in their youth, even if they didn't feel any same-gender attraction, things of that nature, to still participate in homosexual acts. As I would say, their morals on the subject of sexual lines were different than those of raised by heterosexual parents.
Those aren't morals. Those are sexual preferences. There's a difference. If you're me, you think...
This wasn't sexual preference. This was, even if they didn't feel any same-gender attraction, they still were more likely to go and experiment sexually just because they wanted to. The people that have same gender attraction, they're actually attracted to people of the opposite sex. You're not attracted to this person sexually, but you still go ahead and do sexual things with them anyway.
What was the difference statistically, and how do we know that it's anything more than a correlation, and how do we know that it's a causal relationship?
It's a small study, which again, there are no large scale studies.
So what was the end?
So I need to look up the actual full statistics of it, but it was statistically significant. It again could be a correlation. This was one study that was done, which in a lot of these things, that's what you find, is there's one landmark study which everyone cites, which is to me one of the reasons why I don't want to base the whole issue around studies.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one other study that I would like to mention before we get off into the philosophical. One thing that as conservatives we think a lot of the issues that are supposedly had with gay marriage not being in place, things of that nature. One of the biggest things is that the culture is hostile to gays, is kind of what it's portrayed as. And one of the key ways that they go about doing that is through suicide. And all the studies that say that gays are more likely to commit suicide and things of that nature, the studies, if you actually look at them, the questions that they ask are, have you ever had suicidal thoughts? Which, to me, is a very subjective question. A better way to go about doing it, in my mind, is there's been a couple of studies. There's only been one large-scale, multi-area study, which was actually completed recently, was in Queensland, Australia. Now, that's not in the U.S., so we can't compare it apples for apples, but they took the whole of Queensland, Australia, and looked at all suicides, all suicides over a certain period, which was about 5,000 suicides. They went back and said, went to talk to people, talk to everything they could find about each one of these suicides to figure out, was this person gay or having thought to be gay? Along those things, they went and talked to relatives, looked in articles about things. And of the 5,000, there were like 34 of the suicides were from LGBTQ, which I think there's like one transsexual, a couple of bisexual people, 10 lesbians, and 20 or so homosexual men. And if you look at the statistics, if you compare the other suicides to the gays, it's actually a much lower percentage. You know, if you compare the actual statistics on how many people are gay in Queensland, Australia, to the number of suicides, the percent is actually lower than it is amongst heterosexual.
So you're saying that, at least according to this study, heterosexuals seem likelier to commit suicide than do gay people.
Yes, that is correct.
Funny thing is, now I can twist that around on you. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. But if that's so, then it's probably safer to be gay than to be straight. And if, in fact, gay marriages do produce children who are more likely to be gay, well, then they're probably also less likely to commit suicide. And since the human population is rather too high anyhow, I think we should probably have more gay children if we're, you know, less likely to commit suicide.
To me, the argument of the population is too high almost always leads to, well, how can we control it? Which is not, in my purview, anything beyond the person voluntarily controlling their own.
Oh, to be clear, I'm not saying that we're
having children.
Oh, just to be clear, I'm not saying we need like a one-child policy or any kind of like people need to stop reproducing. That was mostly a joke.
I'm not suggesting that you do, but that argument typically leads down that
road. Oh, sure it
That's
does.
One of the things.
Yeah, no, I was
Margaret
was...
Sanger and the, you know, Margaret Sanger's arguments and that sort of thing led to people twisting the ideas and turning it into, well, let's just start exterminating people.
Yeah, no.
And let's
yeah.
start sterilizing
no,
people.
No, what we need is better food production and distribution. That's the solution to that, and better social policies, not stop reproducing. I would never advocate that. That was a joke, but what I am saying in more seriousness is, if it's the case that, which I've never heard of before and seems counterintuitive, but data is data and I'd have to look at the data, but if it's the case that heterosexual people are more likely to commit suicide than gay people, well, then, hey, must not be such a bad thing to be gay, and we shouldn't object to these unions.
The study is under the Journal of Homosexuality from ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. It's entitled Suicide and Suicide Risk in Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Populations. And again, that's based around Queensland, Australia.
Okay, I'll have a look at it later. So, let's...
So, philosophically, I think, you know, the case for traditional marriage is based a lot in, you know, one, not experimenting socially. Two, a lot of people feel it encroaches on their marriage. You can refute that if you want, which many people will.
How does what I want to do in my marriage encroach on anything to do in your marriage? That never made any sense to me at all.
The problem is when, you know, and this leads to our consensus, is that when government gets involved, any decision that the government makes becomes the decision of everyone, which, you know, leading into our consensus here is basically get the government out of deciding who can and cannot get married.
Right. Our consensus, you want to talk about that now?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, Matt and I have hashed this one out for years, and this consensus sort of developed organically out of that. We both believe that, you know, in the United States of America, we have a separation of church and state, which is one of my very favorite things about the Constitution, actually. The thing is that...
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing, exactly. And the way that marriage works in this country doesn't really follow that, because marriage in this country is both ecclesiastical and secular. And at least, you know, one thing that I think we hear from a lot of more religious people is they feel that the government is encroaching upon that religious domain. So to us, the solution to that is have everyone get civil unions, and that covers all the secular aspects of marriage, hospital stuff, inheritance, taxes, etc., etc. And meanwhile, it may be a long time, if a century, I don't know, before, say, the Southern Baptist Convention or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or Orthodox Jews, if ever, are okay with same-sex marriage. I don't know. But the thing is that if you separate the ecclesiastical and the secular domains of marriage, then that's less of a problem. Now, granted, if you're a homosexual Mormon, if you're a homosexual Baptist, if you're a homosexual Orthodox Jew, I'm not ever going to downplay that right now life is very painful for you. But at least then you have some options or something.
And then you could at least go to somebody you trust or something like that that would have another organization that could get you married if that's what you wanted to do.
Exactly. You know, as a liberal, I would have never felt comfortable at Bob Jones University, but nobody ever forced me to go to Bob Jones University.
Exactly.
And now this doesn't detract the fact that if you've grown up in any of these, you know, religious communities, I mean, being Orthodox Jewish isn't just going to your shul, it's a culture, it's where you come from, it's what you are, I suppose, and I guess maybe a Mormon feels that way, or a Baptist feels that way. You know, it's not so easy to just say, you just won't get married in your church. Well, no, maybe that's not so good. It's going to take society a long time to evolve, but I am convinced it will evolve. And maybe by the time I'm an old man dying, the Southern Baptists will have gay marriage, I don't know, one can only hope.
Well, or they'll do what a lot of churches have done, is basically they're decentralized, and I think it's Episcopalians, that they're already completely decentralized, so basically all doctrine is determined at the local level. There are some guidelines that they give, but anything definitive is decided by the local pastor and his congregation. And so there were some things that caused some internal struggles, where a congregation was pro-gay marriage, but the official doctrine from the church was that they're not, but they couldn't do anything because they're completely decentralized. And I think that's one of the big solution here, is decentralize marriage. You know, let people recognize the marriages that they want. You know, personally, I think the whole, you can't visit somebody unless you're officially family in the hospital, is kind of a dumb policy anyway.
Yes.
You know, that policy, I think, is something that just should be let go. And then, you know, the hospital argument is off the shelf. If you have your best friend who you've grown up with and you don't have any family and you want them in the hospital with you, they should be able to get in the
yes,
hospital.
Yes, they should.
Even if you, you know, so, I mean, that's the sort of, you know, to me, it's patient's rights. The patient should be able to decide who comes in with me to the hospital.
Yep, agreed.
You know, Dan's solution, the civil union, so it's officially recognized by, you know, by the government for, you know, inheritance and that sort of thing, taxes. But interestingly, I heard an argument the other week in which the courts and the U.S. divorces and things about child protection and that sort of thing, with all of the out-of-wedlock children, they're already coming up with a lot of ways of how to deal with children and with custody and that sort of thing outside of marriage.
Right, they have
so
to.
They're already figuring, they have to, but they're already figuring out how to do it, and that's one of the big things. Well, you can't figure all this out unless they're married and the government knows that they're married. Well, they do it all the time.
And another thing I'd like to mention is that our solution, while it may or may not be workable, may also be entirely unnecessary, at least in the United States of America. State by state, court ruling after court ruling, and failing that legislative solution after legislative solution is legalizing gay marriage. In fact, I believe it was just today that a judge in Florida threw out that state's same-sex marriage ban. I don't know where the link is, but I recall distinctly that Nate Silver, who is amazing, predicted that all states of the Union would legalize same-sex marriage by the year 2024, and that the last of the 50 would be Mississippi. And I do think that inertia's just sort of almost got a... It has its own inertia. It's gonna happen. And it's gonna happen faster than any of these solutions shape themselves legislatively. And so I think that's all...
Which, to me, encroaches upon the freedom of, you know, of legislation and the people that do these things. Somehow, I don't have any idea how it's unconstitutional.
Equal rights, that's how. Simple. And anyhow,
well, where is equal rights spelled out? And besides that, they already have the same equal rights. Any male can get married to any female.
No, that's not equal rights. It would be equal rights if any male could marry any consenting adult male. That's not equal rights. That's not. Just not. But in any case...
In any case, that's not our position anyway. I mean, it's...
Basically, we...
Personally, it's just get the state out of my church is what I would like, is to get the state out of my church, and to do that, I don't think legalizing gay marriage, and then... Personally, I feel at some point in the future, it's going to start attempting mandates on the churches, if this continues down this path.
That may or may not happen. I believe two things at once. I think Nate Silver is right. He may be off about the year, and he may be off about Mississippi, but I think he's fundamentally correct that by the time I'm 50, 60 years old, every state's going to have gay marriage, whether it was done legislatively or by the court. I also believe, and I think it was James Madison, but I could be wrong, correct me if you can, one of those founding fathers said, talked about the judiciary, the purpose being part of it is to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority. And that's, to me, one of the great parts of the U.S. judiciary. So that's number one. And number two, I think our solution is very nice. Maybe it will never need to be implemented, but...
Well, if it does, it may not need to be implemented on the gay marriage side, but it may at some point need to be implemented for the sake of religion.
I think
on that part.
I think that in general,
if people start to try to encroach, because right now the law is encroaching on people's equal rights, but it also, I think in the future, the equal rights is in the gays can't legally get married in certain states. But in the future, it may start to encroach on people's religious liberty. And that's where I think this really shines, is that it allows people to have religious liberty without also encroaching upon people's equal rights.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I think, our church and state separation problems right now, aside from this marriage thing, I think that there absolutely should not be prayer in the public domain. I find it highly objectionable that there's even a chaplain in any city councils, let alone the United States Congress, but there is. I understand why people do it, but I think that if you really believe in the separation of church and state, there should not be a chaplain on the floor of a legislature. There just should not.
Just a side note. Separation of church and state does not exist in the Constitution. The actual Constitution basically says that they're not going to legislate any... Dang it. First Amendment. You got me, Dan? Or do I have to pull it up?
Give me a minute. I'm opening a browser.
Yes, I'm pulling it up. So the First Amendment is where it mentions religious liberty. The actual statement of separation of church and state, that comes from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a Rhode Island pastor saying, hey, where the Rhode Island pastor was like, hey, are you guys going to start legislating on us, telling us what we can and can't believe and that sort of thing? He's like, no. We will have a separation that protects the churches from government.
Yes, I mean, the actual text, and I'll just read it for the benefit of the listener, quote from Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, unquote. So that's what the Constitution has to say about it.
And there actually were state religions in the states.
Sure, Maryland, for example, was founded as Catholic.
And the Puritans and the, how was it, the Quakers?
It was William Penn who founded Pennsylvania and meant it to follow, Quaker ideals, yes.
So anyway, our solution, our consensus is get the government out of our religious decisions.
Yes, and get the government out of, get the chaplains out of the legislatures too, but that's something for another week. Anyway.
Well, this is Matt from Seattle signing off.
And this is Dan from Cleveland signing off.